Voices, off stage and on the air, performance number 868. I am Lisa Sheps, your co-hostess with the Mo Hostess. I am joined, as always, by my great and powerful co-host, Miss Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
You are listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby, streaming live as we do every single Wednesday around the world at KOOP.org. Step right up, the show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah. Gorgeous. It is Wednesday, March 18th, 2026. On the show today, we have our very dear friends and fun partners, Texas Comedies, and their show Prohibition. And later on, we're going to be talking to the Stage Austin and their show The Games Afoot. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, San Juan, Puerto Rico, New York, Chicago, London, and Istanbul. Stick with us. No me diga. I'm going to turn your microphone on so people can hear that cute little giggle.
No, I was just giggling.
No me diga. Nicole, checking in with you.
I'm here. I'm here. I was surprised at the little amount of traffic I had coming here.
I know,
today.
It's crazy. You would think South by Southwest and all, the South by Southwest of it.
Yeah, I had to go through.
That there'd be more traffic.
I had to go through that to get here, and I was like, what is happening?
Nothing. Yeah,
but it allowed me to finish homework, so that was good.
Well, whenever I travel, I just keep my sirens on and everybody gets out of my way.
Whoop whoop.
Why don't we introduce the folks that are sitting with us here so they can actually speak? What do you say?
I think that's a great idea.
Okay, we have the incomparable John Cecil. Welcome back, John.
Hello, glad to be back.
We're happy to have you. We have Aaron Matajasek. Hi.
Hello. It's a pleasure.
The pleasure is all mine. Rachel Palente.
Hello. Hello.
And Lydia Margitza.
Hello.
Everybody's a veteran except for Lydia. Do you feel like a...
Oh, no. I'm a veteran. It's Rachel. That's
Rachel's
the newbie.
Yeah, I got it wrong. Sorry. Everybody's a veteran except for Rachel is what I meant to say.
Yes.
Okay.
True.
Well, good. You need to get right up on that microphone.
That is true.
There you go. Wonderful. Before we go on, I just got to say, what a wonderful show.
Kim had the live music going today. Kim Simpson.
I mean, our audience, for those of you that just tuned in, that it's a sitar, which, you have to sit down to play.
Yeah.
Anybody
with me? Beautiful instrument. And, it was beautiful
strings.
Playing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
Yeah. So that's my theory. That's my string theory.
That's it?
28 strings.
Yeah, I got it.
Whatever. Hey, listen, I need to tell everybody the opinions expressed here on Offstage and on the Air are not necessarily those of KOOP, its volunteers, underwriters, staff, or anybody. It's just our crazy opinions.
Yeah.
So don't
that
go,
happens.
Don't go calling the station when you get mad at something I say. I'll give you my number, and that number is 69. I know. That was bad. No me diga. That was from a little show called In the Heights.
Ah, and why did you play that today, Lisa?
Because it's coming back. It's coming to City Center Encores, which is kind of a weird one for Encores. It's going.
You think?
Well, because the Encores was made to do little known or less produced shows.
But of late.
I know.
It fits.
But they swung back. This season is more the way they used to be.
But they've
no dancing,
done it.
Right?
So
they just stand there, right? Don't
no,
they stand
I think
there and
it's
hold the music?
No. But yes and no.
Okay.
That's the whole thing. It is
in theory a concert production, but it has gone whale beyond that. Whale. How do you spell that?
Whale.
W-H-A-L-E. Whale
well, I
beyond
guess it would
that.
Depend on what region you're from.
You anyway, haven't. So this is the first production of the 26-27 season. And it's a 2-week run, starts with a gala benefit performance on October 28th, a mere 26 days after my birthday. Is everybody writing that down?
Bum, bum, yes. Bum.
Okay, I'll be 37. It's going to be directed by David Mendizabal. Mendizabal? Oh. He helmed Mexidus.
Oh, okay.
I know that that's going to make guest co-host Carl Gonzalez really happy. That's one of his very favorite shows. So, has everybody here seen In the Heights?
Yes.
I saw it in the movies.
Does that count? That it kind of counts.
Kind of.
Twice.
It's a. I did too. Because I didn't like it the first time, and I had to watch it the second time to like it.
That's a new way.
I know. I know.
It's a great show.
It is a great show.
Uh-huh.
And that's one of my favorite numbers from the show, the No Me Diga. It's three gals in a beauty parlor dishing the tea.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
there's a lot of songs. Everybody gets mad at me, but I like it more than Hamilton.
I will say this. You got an apple in this hand, you got an orange in this hand.
I get it, but when people talk about Lynn, I'm like, the excitement that people get for Hamilton is how I feel about this show. Yeah. I don't dislike
Hamilton. The only thing that's the same about that is Lin-Manuel Miranda. But they're terribly different shows.
They are. But I like feeling that people get from Hamilton is what I get from that.
Yeah, I thought it was more fun. I had more fun watching In the Heights. Sorry. And I saw Hamilton live.
I did too.
Yeah.
That is the best way to see a play.
But I saw it here in Austin, so it wasn't.
I did. I've seen it a few times live. We saw it together here in Austin.
We did see it together here in Austin.
Yeah, so that's In the Heights. We did have an opening on Broadway. It's been a while since we've had an opening on Broadway. And it is a solo show. And it is a brilliant show.
It is every brilliant.
It is every brilliant thing. That's the name of the show. And it stars one Daniel Radcliffe.
It does.
Who seems to not be able to do anything wrong.
No. He's like rainbows and unicorns.
And versatile.
Very. I mean,
he is not typecast as a little Harry Potter.
No. Which, because you know why? He's talented and a nice guy. So those are two great things that people want to work with.
In the Did They Like It aggregator, it had 17 reviews, 11 were positive, 5 were mixed, and 1 was negative. And I meant to look at the negative review because, you know, when you have that many positive and 1 negative, you just wonder. You know, I have to say, that would be me. I'm always the odd man out.
Well, it's, you know, it's a show about suicide. It is a very deep and uplifting show, but it's also a lot of audience participation, which people don't always
But
you're not forced to audience participate.
You're not forced to audience participation, and you should know before you walk into the theater that that's a big part of it.
Yes, it's and not only is it that, which, I mean, I've always seen this show done in a really small, it's in a very intimate space, which is...
Well, this is the first time it's been done on Broadway. It was off Broadway, and it's been all over the world.
Yes.
And it opened 12 years ago. It's written by Duncan McMillan. McMillan?
Yep.
McMillan.
McMillan.
I'm sorry. English is not my first language.
It's not spelled like a normal how you would think McMillan is spelled either.
I hate to tell you this. I always tell people before the show that if I have to castigate them for some reason, since I do my own show, so I have to castigate you over the air. I need you to move that water out of the studio.
Oh, you got it.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry. I'm sorry to the staff and board of co-op for me breaking the rules.
They're unbroken now.
I usually give that rule before you come in. I do.
And that was Rachel, by the way, not Lydia or Aaron.
Correct.
But I'm the virgin, remember? I'm not the vet.
Anyway, so when you walk into the house of this, and Nicole basically gave it away, not that it was a spoiler.
Give it away.
It's not a spoiler.
No.
So there was no shade there.
Yeah.
I was not tossing shade about like one.
You normally do.
Tosses the rubbish. Anyway, before the show, Daniel Radcliffe is out recruiting audience members to help him. Mm-hmm. And some have lines and some don't have lines.
Some have props.
Some have props. There's all sorts of stuff. And there's cards that are given out by him. And he has got a cadre of pre-show professionals roaming through the audience. And again, as you said, it was always done in intimate settings, and now it's done at the Hudson Theater, mm-hmm. which I don't know. Yeah, you know, for Broadway, I don't know how big is it. Hudson a small house?
It is a small house.
Yeah. So that's what you see when you come in. It says he's deep into crowd work by the time the lights dim. By the way, this review was done by Helen Shaw, the new chief critic of the New York Times, mm-hmm. And she loved it, I might say. It says that the audience is not so much fans, but collaborators in this case.
Wow.
Seems like a lot of fun.
Yeah. It really is. It's so, Duncan wrote it based, he was inspired by it. I shouldn't say based. He was inspired by writing this from his dealings and relationship with his mother and suicide.
Yep.
And everybody's like, what? And you're like, suicide. It really makes you feel good. There are some heavy moments, yep. as there are in life, but...
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. I have not.
I want to say the last person to do it here in town was Austin Playhouse, and Zach was doing it.
Who performed
really,
it at Austin Playhouse?
Really good version. It was right when
Who
COVID
performed
shut
it at
down.
Austin Playhouse?
Oh, my gosh. I can't remember right this moment on either. I'll tell
anyway,
you.
Anyway, as he was...
I just realized I've seen this show.
Where did
I
you see it?
I saw it at the Zach.
Okay.
Yeah,
cool.
With Christian.
With Christian,
Wood.
Yeah.
Yep.
Christian Borle?
No.
Oh, I thought that's what you said.
Woodward, Wood.
I would have known if correct. Christian Borle yeah. was here. Who?
I think it's Woodward.
Yeah.
If not, sorry,
was
Christian.
Was Simpson with him?
Yep.
No.
Woodward and Simpson, anybody?
Joseph Garlock did it at Austin
cool.
Playhouse.
All right. Anyway, it started as a short monologue, and it expanded into a collaborative project. He invited people on Facebook to add things to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really quite interesting. It's been formed in 80 countries. And I think this
also
version...
Also one act and short and sweet.
Yep. This version was on the West End, and it's moving here to the Estados Unidos.
Yes. Hunter is a lead producer on that one.
You know, he was not mentioned in this thing, but good. Let's see what else I want to say about it. That's about it. Some other critics... Greg Evans of Deadline said, it's unsparring and clear-eyed in its presentation of the realities of depression and suicide, yet glows with a hopeful, life-affirming aura that convincingly depicts the value of struggle and the beauty in tenacity.
Yeah.
So it sort of narrows
it
down into a sentence.
I would say it captures that.
Aramidi Tinimbu of Variety said in their... Arresting play, Every Brilliant Thing co-creators Duncan McMillan and Johnny Donahue are tackling suicide and deep-seated depression with levity and wit rarely depicted on the stage before. Mm-hmm. So that's good. Mazel tov to Daniel Radcliffe.
Yes.
We need to get him on this show.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
Didn't he do full frontal nudity in Equus?
He did.
Yes. Catch that one?
Yeah. It's great
didn't
on the radio.
See that one. Yep.
Everybody that does Equus does full frontal nudity. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he was in How to Succeed in
Business. I saw him in that.
Those are all three very...
No frontal nudity.
No.
Different
no
roles besides, like, people know Merrily We Roll Along, but it's like, they're all very, very
you
different
tell
roles.
Me, speaking of Merrily We Roll Along, it is available to stream right now. They did a pro shot of it. Not F-R-E-E. It's on the pay services right now. I think I might actually spend the $7.99 and... Take a look.
Go for it.
And I can't wait for you to tell me how, where'd the wide shot go? I'm sick of looking at everyone's heads like this.
No, no wide shots in this one, I don't think.
There's like 1 or 2 seconds.
Yeah. Speaking of O Mary.
Which works well when multiple people are singing.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. I'm guessing you're not talking about O Mary.
No,
or full frontal nudity.
Or full frontal nudity is part of O Mary.
You want the wide shot.
They have a new Mary Todd Lincoln coming in.
They do.
I'm very excited about this one.
I've been excited about all of them.
I
but
have
this
too.
Is another great one.
The only one I didn't know was Hannah Solau.
Hannah Solau. She was just, I got to work with her. She was just in the Real Housewives of New York opera.
Was she a Real Housewife? Is that
no,
why?
No. She's been in the original cast forever. She's been the understudy.
Oh,
she
okay.
took over the role.
I see.
If you saw her, you'd know her. She's hilarious.
So let's tell people who we're talking about. Oh. It's Maya Rudolph.
Maya Rudolph, yes.
How fun.
In her Broadway debut.
Yes, nice. Isn't that wild?
So I'm very excited to see her in that role. To remind everybody other than Cola Scola, who created the role and wrote the piece, it's been played by Titus Burgess, Betty Gilpin, Jane Krakowski, John Cameron Mitchell, Jinx Monsoon, and Hannah Solow.
Yeah,
Solow.
I was all like, where's Jinx? Jinx went right in after. So, but yes.
These are not in order. Because,
yes, I realize that.
Because Betty Gilpin was the second one.
Correct.
And Titus Burgess was the third one.
So it's just.
And they didn't even mention my turn because I was in it for a little while.
Well.
In my own mind.
You're the mystery woman.
I think I'd be good.
I think it's fun.
Yeah. It's wackadoo. All right. We're going to run out of time. So I need to make sure I'm good on time today. Did we see, did we like, did we watch the Oscars? Okay, nodding doesn't work on the radio.
Yes.
He did.
I watched some of it, but I hadn't seen a lot of the movies, so I didn't.
I only saw one of the movies, so I didn't watch it.
My main takeaway from the Oscars was that every man this year, for some reason, was wearing a brooch. And I couldn't figure out what the hell was going on. I was like, did I miss something? What is
Don't
going on?
Don't be transphobic on my show. No,
there was just like every guy brooch came up phobic. On stage, brooch.
Might be the fashion thing
like,
right
do
now.
I need
but
to
I
get,
miss,
do I need I to get miss, brooches?
Well, hold on. Let me stop. I have to figure out how I want to broach this subject. Anybody? Okay, good. That's all I want to say.
Great setup, Aaron. Thank you.
It was hosted by, what's his name?
Conan O'Brien.
And he won an award. Did you know that?
Conan.
He won an Oscar.
Yes.
Here, listen to this.
The winner is Conan O'Brien.
His Oscar win has been fated by God. He is the greatest. Just check out that bod. He did this himself and he's grateful to none. Even the haters can't hate number one. He promised my agent my highest fee yet.
Well, and he got serenaded by Josh Groban.
The Grobes.
And I played that for you.
Because I love the Grobes. He is the Grobes. He is so self-deprecating and hot mess express and just so freaking talented at the same time. His concerts he would do during COVID that he would get a whole band and just be in a theater by himself. And he'd just he'd get blasted and sing in his velvet suit and then just tell these self-deprecating stories that made everybody connect on another level and then just pull out a great one. I'm like, how do you not love the Grobes?
Yep.
His Christmas album is my favorite.
Okay.
Noel.
Here we go. Let's talk about something. And this is, I want everybody to reference the disclaimer I made earlier about whose opinions we are. But there was an article in the New York Times written by Michael Paulson. The headline was New York Theater Settles Case That Argued Discounts Are Discriminatory. And this was a lawsuit. We talked about it here on the show that there was a white musician from New Jersey who sued over a performance of Practice that was just for BIPOC audiences. And this was Playwrights Horizons. They ended up settling this out of court. So we don't know.
There
was never any ruling.
Mm-hmm.
And between the producers and the plaintiff and the defendant side, their takeaway was very different.
Is the settlement under seal, so you don't know what it is?
You don't know what it is. So the law firm that was representing the guy suing said, quote, race-based ticket pricing violates all of our civil rights, regardless of which race is on the receiving end of the discrimination. The American Alliance for Equal Rights is grateful that Playwrights Horizons has apologized for its racially discriminatory policies and will now treat all of its patrons equally, regardless of the race. Playwrights Horizons said, quote, Playwrights Horizons did not and will not apologize for our policies. The theater said in a statement, we merely expressed regret that Mr. Lynch felt offended. But first of all, I mean, and this is something we can talk about. I feel strongly on the side that having, well, first of all, if you had a if you invited all white people versus all people of a discriminatory or a, I think there's a difference between those two groups. So I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with having things like a blackout night, like ground floor. We did that in ground floor theater.
Yeah, but here's my question: so if they have the settlement, does this mean they can't do any of that anymore?
No.
Or they said that's not able to happen?
No.
So it's not just them; it's any theater anywhere.
Well, it's not.
Or in New York, because it went to.
There was no ruling, so there's nothing.
It was a civil suit, so it's probably just a cash settlement, right?
So this could all come right up again.
The guy got money. Yeah. Thank you. Which kind of upsets me that they settled. If I were the theater, unless I thought I was going
to
lose.
There had to be a reason for it. That's just the whole thing.
Yeah.
There something came up. I don't know what it is. I don't know what side it came up on.
But it did say that.
All I say is curiouser and curiouser, said Alice to the Caterpillar. So
the article,
in essence, we're going to be here again and revisit
in
this
theory,
all because someone's going to push the envelope.
Well, but with Playwrights Horizons, evidently, and this is
not them.
This is not from them. This is the article says, because the case was settled, the question was not resolved. The theater statement makes it clear that any future discounts will not be race based.
And I don't think they were the only theater that did it.
No,
so,
there's a whole bunch of people
yeah,
that have done it.
So, hopefully they keep doing their thing.
Let's be clear. They did not say, we don't want white people at the performance. They just gave a discount to BIPOC.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
Yeah, I don't.
I was hoping somebody would disagree with me so we could fight. No? Okay. Oh,
well. Lydia has my statement.
I don't think it's the last we've heard of this.
Yeah. All right. Darn it. There's so much stuff I want to talk about. Remember, you can see the things that we didn't talk about by going to offstageonair.com, and I'll have the list of everything we were going to talk about. But there was another opening that we should talk about really quickly. It was Antigone. It's called Antigone, the play I read in high school. And it's it is written by Anna Ziegler, directed by Tyne Rafali, and it stars, what's his name? Tony Shalhoub and Celia Keenan-Bolger.
I love the Shalhoub.
I love the Shalhoub.
I know.
They did not like this show, this critic.
So many versions of
Antigone. And this was written by Helen Shaw again. They called it uneven. And Celia Keenan-Bolger played the chorus, who was the character. It was actually self-centered around this character. It was all in her head. Hmm. Let me see if I can. Chorus tells us that on a plane, she sees a teenager reading Antigone as they circle over Pittsburgh. The other woman plunges into her own bloody reverie, a half-ancient, half-contemporary retelling of the Sophocles story. So, and Tony Shalhoub plays Creon. I don't know.
Interesting.
They said it has a beautiful set, but that was about the only thing they liked about it.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I still love the Shalhoub.
Yeah. Who doesn't love the Shalhoub?
I don't know.
Yeah. I was actually thinking about, and all of the theater companies in Austin, please close your ears. I was thinking about maybe The Band's Visit for a musical.
Oh, that's a great musical.
Speaking of Tony Shalhoub.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm here for that.
And maybe I'll get Tony to do it.
Maybe you can.
For me. All right. Okay. We have time for one and a half more things. Miss Saigon is coming back to the West End.
It is.
What did I want to talk about? Schoolgirls, or the African Mean Girls play, is going to get a Broadway run in the fall.
It is.
And this is written by Jocelyn Bio. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correct. By Manhattan Theater Club. The director is going to be Whitney White. But she also wrote Jaja's Hair Braiding Company, which would also be another good one.
A for fun one, yeah.
Theater. And then I think finally, the last thing I want to talk about before we go, because you sent it to me and we have some music. Oh, just go and look at the articles that we're not talking about. The high school Broadway show shadowing program.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's where they take 25. You're nodding your head. Yes. Do you know about it?
Disney is doing this?
No, Broadway. It's the Broadway League.
Oh, never mind.
And they're taking 25. They've taken, I think they've done it 6 years now.
Yeah.
25 high school students and give them access to how it all gets put together from, not from the acting standpoint, but all the
behind
other,
the scenes, they get to shadow all the different
They shadow,
positions.
They're invited to text to a Broadway show.
Nice.
They're in the room where it happens.
They're in the room where it happens. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a great song
so
from
awesome.
In the Heights.
I think you're saying they see where the sausage is made.
They do. Exactly.
I've done that, by the way.
That's all right.
I've seen the sausage, literally. It's really gross.
In 2027, at a venue in Brooklyn called the Empyrean Club, directed by one Max Hunter, choreographed by Bay and Asia, is going to be American Psycho.
Dun, dun, dun.
Only reason why I'm talking about it is because you sent this to me. What's so great about American Psycho?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's just diabolical and twisty. And when you go back and read the book now, it's wild how relevant stuff still is and so crazy.
Is there a blood budget?
There's a blood budget. There's a splash zone. But so it did really well in the West End when it originally premiered. It did horribly when it was here before. But most recently, Duncan Sheik and Robert Aguero Segura got together and revamped and redid the whole show. Yep. Got to work on it when we tested it in Houston before they just recently took it to the West End, and it is coming back to the New York.
In
I'm excited for some Patrick Bateman.
I think it's going to be great.
Okay. Yes.
All right. Well,
so the music, a lot of the music's the same. Duncan maybe changed some orchestrations, but Roberto really messed with the script, and there's some new characters and other characters gone, but I mean, it's just so campy and wonderful and
how did they
kitschy
do the business cards? They do something with
there's
the
a whole
cards?
Song about the business
okay,
cards
good,
in the font.
Good to know.
Paul and
never seen the movie.
Yeah, they're all about the business cards and the font.
All right, well, let's take a little break, and we'll listen from American Psycho. I am back. We'll be right back. And this is I am back. It's all the same word. We'll be back. We are back. You are listening to Offstage and On Air with Lisa and Nicole and a cadre of other folks. And we're going to reintroduce that cadre of other folks right now. And they're going to talk about the show that they're here. And we have from Texas Comedies, John Cecil.
Hello.
John Cecil is the artistic director. And I guess you wrote this puppy?
I did.
That we're going to talk about? Amazing. And three of the performers, we have Rachel Palante.
Hello.
We have Lydia Margitza.
Hello.
And Eric, Aaron Matijasic.
What's cracking?
Or in Croatian,
Matijasic.
There you go, Matijasic. I speak Croatian. John Cecil.
Hello.
This show is called Prohibition, a musical comedy.
That's absolutely right. And you probably remember we did a Prohibition about 8 years ago. And
I do.
That was set in
I do.
That was set in 1918, which was right when Austin voted in Texas-wide prohibition. Well, we've done the show many times touring, and often the audience is expecting a show set in the 20s. So just for them, we're doing this version, an all-new version with a totally new script and about six new songs, and we're doing it in 1923.
Oh.
Right in the midst of prohibition.
Well, that's a huge difference. That's like 5 years.
It's a big difference. So we took the characters.
A lot went down in that 5 years.
Well, we take characters like Milton Morris, who was a big temperancer, a big dry. And we said, well, what would happen to him actually once Prohibition was passed? Well, he becomes an anti-Saloon League enforcer. And he goes up against Mr. Schmidt, whose first name is Georg, by the way. You didn't know that.
You didn't know
I,
that.
I did not know that. I was going to ask, actually. Good to know. The show's in 2 days.
Org? That was Georg?
Georg. It's German sort of pronouncing George. G-E-O-R-G.
Oh, Georg. George. Okay.
Gay.org.
So
for nonprofit.
So he's running a saloon, a speakeasy, right next door to the temperance reading room. So you can imagine the kind of conflicts that brings out, right? And so we've got temperancers. We've got flappers, of course. We've got boozers. We've got smugglers. We've got gangsters. We've got it all.
That's crazy. So let me ask you a question, which I've had you on the show many, many times. And you have this company now called, it was called something else, but now it's Texas Comedies.
Yes.
And you typically do shows that are historically based and in Texas. Were you, prior to doing this, do you just have a fascination for Texas history? Why did this happen, John Cecil? I need to know.
Well, we kind of fell into it by accident, but it's true that I do like history, and I used to teach Texas history a long time ago.
Okay.
Although
I
I'm
didn't
not
know
from
you taught it.
I did, but I'm not really from Texas, but maybe that's why I was fascinated with it. But our first show
that's
we ever did.
That's a big book, 7th grade Texas history.
Yeah, don't drop it on your foot.
Yeah,
especially the teacher's edition with those wide margins. So we did a show called Cabeza de Vaca, which was about allegedly the first European explorer who landed in the Galveston area.
Sure.
And was captured and got naked and wandered and became this, you know, guru sort of guy. And that show brought out all sorts of people came. There's somebody who brought a painting to our show of Cabeza de Vaca, and which we hadn't expected. And so, yeah,
we've been bringing in,
you know, history buffs as well as musical theater lovers ever since.
Well, great. Well, let's talk about this. Lydia, tell us who you play and about your character.
Sure. So I play the character Rose, and she is one of the workers at the Anti-Saloon League.
Is she from Tyler, Texas?
I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, from Tyler, Texas.
So that makes her a Tyler Rose.
Oh, there we go. Yes.
Stick with me.
So she's kind of like the resident playwright. She likes to write a lot of rhyming temperance plays and musicals, but she gets a little stage fright. She has some nerves, and so she goes searching for a remedy to these nerves and kind of takes a big journey when she finds some medicinal alcohol.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. That always helps. I forgot the character's name again.
Her name is Rose.
Rose. That's right. Like
Tyler Rose.
Yeah.
Tyler. She's from Tyler. Remember?
Awesome. Rachel, tell us about your character.
Well, I'm Lucille, and I help with that medicinal purpose. I'm peddling prescriptions of during the 19th.
Rachel just used air quotes when she said prescription.
Normally I do. But I'm peddling alcohol. That's what they did then, so...
That's what they still do. And Aaron?
Yes, I am Schmidt, apparently first name Georg. Makes me think I've been playing this character all wrong, but we'll see.
That's going to change everything.
Yeah, could change.
You're a descendant of German folk from Central Texas.
Of course.
Yes.
Fredericksburg. Was that right?
For example.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. I haven't been here that long. Yes. So I'm Schmidt. I am the proprietor of the saloon next door to the temperance reading room. And so I'm engaged in all kinds of salacious activities with local smugglers and gangsters. And I'm going to wear a brooch for the show.
Well, you should. Week.
Yeah.
Everybody else did. I must. At the Oscars. So y'all are going to do a number.
We're going to do a number.
What number is this?
So we figured we would do the opener, and this song is called Party All Night, Party All Day. Now, there's two sides to this show because there's the saloon and then there's the reading room. So we're dividing it up. I'm helping out a little bit, and we've got two of the temperancers on one side who are disapproving and two of the people in the saloon who are more celebratory,
uh-huh.
as you'll see from the lyrics.
Story of my life. You ready?
Yes, I think
okay,
so.
Okay, take it away.
Here we're all inebriated. Here we're fun and debonair. Next door they are irritated. They don't like us over there.
We don't like them over. Here we're working for the nation. Here we're making life more fair. Next door, legal violation.
They don't like us over there.
We don't like them over.
Party all night, party all day. Outrageous behavior, so risque. Dance a step, sneak a drink. Don't care what the neighbors think. Party all night and party all day. Here we're funny and engaging. Here we're living life with flair.
Oh, I spilled.
Next door, anger, it is raging. They don't like us over there.
They don't like them over. Here we're simply civilizing.
Those brutes.
Here we're acting cause we care. We do care. Next door.
secret knock on door in alleyway. Modern jazz, coochie coos, living fast, drinking booze, party all night and party all day.
Prohibition law,
that banned alcohol,
has not worked at all.
Passed back in 1919,
consequences unforeseen.
Party all night, party all day. Outrageous behavior, so risque. Dance a step, sneak a drink. Don't care what the neighbors think. Party all night and party all day. Party all night,
whoop-de-doo.
Party all night,
coochie-coo.
Party all night and party all day.
Amazing. That was so much fun.
That was so much fun.
I wish, you know, here's what I love about theater. because you had two opposing forces here, and if you saw the body language between the four performers, well, we had the fun drinkers, and you can imagine what their body language looked like. And then we had the temperance people, and they were, y'all were perfectly acting that. So mazel tov. So I would throw roses if I could.
Back when we had the video cam.
Yeah, that was great. So the other thing, your shows are so much fun.
Well, thank you. We have fun. We hope you have fun.
Yep, we should.
And so, you can learn something or not.
Or not.
Or not.
You could just sit and have fun. We're completely out of time. Tell us when you open this puppy here.
Okay, we open Friday night, the 20th, and then we go into next weekend, ending on the 28th of March.
Great. And you are at the Dougherty Arts Center, are you not?
Dougherty Arts Center, that's right.
And where can folks go to get more information?
Well, if it were me, I would go to texascomedies.com/prohibition.
Awesome. Or if you just go to texascomedies.com, it'll be right there on the homepage.
That'll work too.
You don't even need to slash. You don't need to be a slasher, John Cecil.
You can click.
Yeah. You could click. Well, it's been such a great, I wish I could talk to you guys all day.
Yeah, that was fun.
You know that.
Mm-hmm. We love it here.
So y'all have a great run. Hopefully I'll get over to see it. It looks like a lot of fun. I owe you a visit to one of your shows.
Because of parade.
Exactly. It's all, you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
That was John Cecil, Aaron Matajasic, or Aaron Matajashosh.
Exactly right.
Great. Thank you. Rachel Palente and Lydia Margitza, all of Texas Comedy's production of Prohibition, a musical comedy playing March 20th through 28th at the Dougherty Arts Center. For more information, texascomedies.com. And this is from their show, and you can see this on their website. Everybody's crazy about something. We'll be right back.
Everybody's crazy about something. Something they can bark at the moon. Everybody's crazy about something anyhow.
I am crazy about you.
Everybody's crazy about something.
Crazy.
Something make them losing a screw. Everybody's crazy about something anyhow.
I am crazy about you.
International Women's Day 2026. Stand up. Rights. Justice. Action for all women and girls marks a moment to amplify our collective determination. No matter how deeply rooted the sexism or discouraging the politics, we refuse to step back. Instead, we climb together for the rights and empowerment of all women and girls. International Women's Day calls for action to dismantle the structural barriers of equal justice, discriminatory laws, weak legal protections, harmful practices, and social norms that erode the rights of women and girls. End gender violence in all its forms, backed by zero tolerance, centered on survivors for abuse and impunity. Stand up. Rights, justice, action for all women and girls.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. We've had a changing of the guard here. We're trying to change our mood from that particular.
It was serious.
Yeah, it was very serious.
Yeah.
We have a whole bunch of people. We've got new people here.
A whole bunch of new folks.
Veterans all.
Yeah.
All of them have been on the show before. Meredith O'Brien, welcome back.
Hello.
Scott Friedman.
Hello.
Hello, and Darren Scharf.
Hello.
And over there, not on microphone, also a veteran, Wendy Zavaleta. Wendy's waving and saying things, but you can't hear her because she's not on a microphone.
You might hear her in the background. Hey.
You might.
Hey,
all right, hey. Let's just talk about local stuff. First of all, darn it, I did not
pull the info.
I did not pull the info,
well,
but
you
it
got
is the
title and the date.
It is the Big We,
and
a creative convening. It's going to be done the 27th, the 28th, the Asian American Cultural Center, and it's going to be talking about the arts environment and
the big we
here in Austin and how we can make it better.
Yes.
And you can get information about that at atxtheater.org. And I didn't pull up the information. I don't know who it's who created this. It's a company that I can't remember off the top of my head, but I'm going to be there, so y'all can be too.
Boop, boop, boop.
The other thing that just happened was the announcements for the funding. City funding came out, mm-hmm. and I'm looking for the button that will get me back to my thing that I can have some information for. And a lot of companies got funding. I can't mention all of them, but the Elevate funding came out. And was the Stage Austin one of them? Did y'all get funding? Nope. Nobody's going to answer that. You did not. Oh, but you did not apply.
No.
They did not apply. So therefore, we don't have to feel guilty that they didn't get funding. but Teatro Vivo, Rude Mex, Co-op.
I saw that.
Got funding here. La Fenice, Jarrett Productions, Hyde Park Theater, Deaf Austin Theater, Color Arc, Broad Theater. A lot of new up-and-coming theaters that haven't received a lot of funding in the past. Austin Shakes, Austin Scottish Rite, Austin Rainbow Theater, Austin Playhouse. So if you start your company name with Austin, you have a better chance of getting funding.
Bum, bum, bum. Lisa does not know that disclaimer.
No, that is not true. Listen to that disclaimer.
Listen to the disclaimer before.
Art Spark Texas. Let's see. And then Vibe Entertainment Group, Walking Shadow Shakespeare, which is a relatively new company here, but they're starting to do a lot of stuff.
Been doing a lot.
Reggie's Rap Room, which is Jeremy Rashad Brown's mm-hmm. Company. Theater photographer Minerva Villa of Lens of Athena.
Lens of Athena.
They got funding. Shrewd Productions, who I know didn't get funding last time, and they were able to get funding this time. So
correct.
Lots of good news, and I apologize if I didn't mention your company. But
it's a big list to sort through.
Yeah. I haven't seen anything online of anybody who's really angry as the last time they announced funding. So anybody's welcome to correct me if y'all know of someone who's not angry. But it doesn't seem like it. All right, let's do our list, shall we?
Mm-hmm.
I'll let you do Zach because they've got two of them.
Well, they're open. Well, one's open and it comes back, and one's opening. So well, yeah, what's just opening is Zach Theater Zapata, a Folklorio superhero musical. That's running March 27th through April 26th. And then Charlotte's Web is the bluegrass version is playing through May 17th.
Yep. Hyde Park Theater, who also got funding. I don't know if I recommended them or said them. Is it the last final weekend of which plays through the 21st?
And then we have Penfold Theater has
nothing.
No, nothing.
Yeah, that was
Wild Horses.
They're done.
Yeah, they're done for right
now.
Yeah,
I didn't delete it. But Bandwagon Arts, this is the final weekend to see Private Lives at Ground Floor Theater. And I'll just pitch it. You just come because it's a fun show.
It's Noel Coward.
It's Noel Coward. And
pare down.
Hour and 15 minutes. No intermission. Come see it.
Yes. Good times.
If you wanted to. You don't have to.
If you like Noel Coward, that's an option. The Stage Austin, we're about to talk to them with the Games Afoot, March 20th through April 11th.
And we just spoke to Texas Comedies and heard them sing. Prohibition, a musical comedy, opens March 20th and plays through the 28th at Dougherty.
Yes. And then Austin Shakespeare, a staged reading of Madam X. I love Anne's Madam X.
Madam X.
She wrote, yes. The stage reading one she does, I love it. March 20th through the 22nd at KMFA.
Austin Rainbow Theater is going to be doing Hedwig and the Angry Inch on March 28th through April 11th at Ground Floor Theater.
I love that show. City Theater, Men on Boats, March 27th through April 12th.
Great. Did I miss anything that you want to talk about?
No, I don't. Right. You don't have anything on there that I don't know.
Excellent.
About.
Here's some of the auditions. Dirty Gold Theater is auditioning for Insomnia Cafe on the 22nd. Different stages with a blood budget. Stage Blood open auditions on the 22nd. Central Drama. Don't know them. They have a show called Sinceramente. Auditions tonight on the 18th.
Oh.
Jarrett Productions has Destinations auditioning on the 20th. And competing with City Theater for being a prolific theater company, CBC Theater is auditioning for Wild Card Wizard of Oz on April 2nd. And Broad Theater is auditioning Falling Down on the Mountain of Great Storms on April 6th. And I have to say that in the listing, it said Falling Down on the Mountain of the Great Stroms.
Stroms.
And I went, all right, I'm sure they did that on purpose. But then I looked at the poster and it was a typo.
I don't
normally
see typos
very often.
Normally they do fun stuff like that on purpose. So typos happen. We are human.
They do happen. Today in theater history, lots of stuff
Tell
today.
Tell me about the stuff.
Lots of stuff. Let's
what
start
happened
with
in the world.
Let's start with shows.
Okay.
First of all, starting previews tonight on Broadway is Becky Shaw, which I don't know if I remember anything about that.
What year was this?
Not right now.
Oh, it's right now starting, it's happening.
Yeah, it is starting previews
well,
tonight. Along
it's
with
not history. It hasn't happened
I
yet.
Know, but for some reason they start putting this in, and I'm saying it
because
they put it in. Also tonight, preview start for the Jellicoe Ball.
I knew that.
Yep. But
the return.
The return. Opening,
of the Jellicoe Ball.
Well, first time on Broadway.
Correct, but it's returning with the peeps. I'm working on that one too.
The opening back in 2012 was once.
Wow, is it really?
Yeah.
Can't believe it was that long ago. Why did I feel like it was further back than 2012?
Yeah. 2024 had Enemy of the People. Seesaw in 1973. That's the original.
I was like, that's the original.
1965, I was 7 years old. Do I Hear a Waltz? Birthday. It's just a great day. Vanessa Williams' birthday.
Mm.
Eva Noblezada's birthday.
Mm.
Sutton Foster's birthday. And throughout all of those things I just mentioned, there's so many songs I could have played.
Yeah, what'd you choose?
Well, a different birthday.
Oh.
John Kander's birthday.
Yeah, he deserves it.
And he's like 99
He is 99.
Yep.
John Kander and Fred Ebb, the longest composing Broadway duo in the history.
But we have to be quiet so we have time to talk to our next guest. So we're going to go out.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, John. From Scottsboro Boys. This is the Scottsboro Boys. We'll be right back.
Hey, 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 join in the merriment. Come on, make some noise. Hey, hey, say goodbye to the Scottsboro Boys.
We are back. You are listening to Lisa and Nicole on KOOP, that's true.
Yes.
And the name of the show is called Offstage and on the Air.
Yes, HG1, HG3 Hornsby.
That's right. And it also airs at KOOP.org and 91.7 on your FM push-button dial.
Yes.
Yep. And we have here from the stage Austin, from their show, The Games Afoot, we have three actors, I believe. You're all actors in the show, right? Meredith O'Brien.
Hello.
Welcome back. Scott Friedman.
Hi.
And Darren Scharf.
Howdy.
All right. Who wants to talk about the show and what it is? Okay. We're all pointing to Scott Friedman. No, we switched over to Darren.
They all passed it down.
Well, as you might guess, it's called The Games Afoot, so it might have something to do with Sherlock Holmes, although it is actually a reference to Shakespeare.
It could have something
to
do with feet.
Mm.
Something's afoot.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, the title is also Holmes for the Holidays. Get it? So it's a bit of a Sherlock Holmes farce, but it's actually about the main character who I play, William Gillette, is an actual historical figure who kind of popularized the image of Sherlock Holmes and was friendly with Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, wrote some of the mysteries with him in the turn of the century, played Sherlock Holmes on stage for decades, was one of the first film roles, is credited with, you know, the duck the hat. The funny, duck, you know, hat. Duck, yes.
Yeah, it is. It's a duck hunter.
Deerstalker hat. That's
Deerstalker. There you go.
The pipe, which he chose so it would be out of the way of his face, because it was the first time people actually saw the face of Sherlock Holmes, because the books were such a, you know, phenomenon. It was the Harry Potter of the time, and everybody couldn't get enough.
I just learned a few things.
Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, thanks for being on the show.
It's historical day on Offstage and on the Air, by the way. Learning fun facts.
So the play's about
it's a little meta, isn't it?
And the company closing their New York run of a Sherlock Holmes play and throwing a party at his crazy castle estate on the Connecticut River, which is a real place.
You can visit. CCE on the Connecticut River. Yeah, I know all about it. So we just learned who you played. Would you say you were the lead of this? Are you the main character in the show?
I wouldn't say that, but everyone else seems
okay.
to.
Okay, well, yeah, everybody nodded over here.
Yeah, we assigned it.
Yeah. Okay,
good. We assigned it.
Scott, tell us about who you are playing.
So I play Felix Geisel, who's...
Is there an Oscar in the show?
No.
Okay, I don't know.
Although, you know...
If I were writing it...
There'd be an Oscar.
There'd be an Oscar.
I did play Felix, I'll let you know. But Felix is William Gillette's best friend.
Okay. Everybody needs a best friend.
Yeah.
Did you do it?
I did. Can't say.
Something is afoot, Lisa. Okay.
There are twists and turns, and we can't give anything away.
So it's about driving.
It's a funny murder mystery.
Okay.
So
hilarity ensues, Lisa. Yeah.
And Meredith. Oh, sorry.
A lot of technical aspects to the show, so I think people will enjoy the tech. And
is there any technical aspect that you could disclose on the air without giving anything away? Give us a little.
There's a séance that occurs.
Okay.
And, a dead woman speaks to us.
If you're here, knock on the table.
Yeah, kind of like that.
I wish we had the video camera still going. Yeah, that's funny.
Well, I was going to knock under the table, then I realized nobody's going to see that.
Yeah.
Meredith, who are you playing?
I play Inspector Harriet Goring.
Oh.
Who in 1936.
Goring is not a good last name.
Right.
I just
want
to say
that. We don't want that. Yeah. Well, 1936, so... And a female detective.
Yeah, good. You know? Yes.
And I come in to figure out who done it.
Excellent. Yeah. So you are the primary detective.
It is true.
You are the Sherlock, as it were.
He tries to be a Sherlock, but I'm the real.
But you're the real Sherlock. You're the real. Well, that's the way it all. Here, that's the way it always goes, right?
Right.
Well, amazing. And who's directing this puppy?
Directed by Karen Sneed.
Karen, wonderful.
Love Karen.
That's lovely. And y'all are going to do a little scene, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. I want to get right to it so we make sure we have time. Who wants to set this scene up?
Well, the inspector is just arriving, and we've rudely kept her waiting outside in the snow because we may or may not be trying to conceal
something.
A dead body or something.
As one does.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is Meredith O'Brien, Scott Friedman, and Darren Scharf doing a scene from Stage Austin's production of The Games Afoot.
Inspector, I am so sorry to keep you waiting.
Not at all. I'm only sorry I forgot my snowshoes.
Hello.
There is no means of escape, Professor Moriarty. I recognize you from Mr. Gillette's most interesting play.
Oh, I see. Did you enjoy it?
I found it unlikely, illogical, far-fetched, and I enjoyed it immensely, especially when you plunged to your death.
Thank you.
I've always liked Sherlock Holmes, of course. Well, you can't be in my business not to appreciate him. He's such a misfit. I like misfits. Don't know why.
I don't suppose there's much crime out here in Connecticut, eh?
Oh, you'd be surprised. I have loads of cases. I just can't solve any of them. I seem to miss the clues for some reason. And yet I do catch all the criminals in the end. I don't know how, exactly. The evil that men do lives after them. The good is often interred with their bones. I thought I'd be an actress when I was a youngster, you see. I just never had the confidence, alas. But then I got a nose for blood, and that's all I needed. Blood will have blood. Is this a dagger I see before me? No, it isn't, actually. It's missing.
I'm sorry?
The dagger from your wall, this spot here. I can see the discoloration from where the dagger used to be.
You know, it is unusual meeting a woman detective. I didn't know they existed. Are you one of many?
Not yet, I'm afraid. But I believe you might call me the wave of the future. I think of myself as a pioneer heading west, fertilizing the land as I go.
I don't want to think too hard about that.
So, what can we do for you, Inspector?
Well, a few minutes ago, someone called the police station and reported a murder. According to the operator, the call came from this house.
This house?
That's ridiculous.
Then it wasn't either of you who called.
No.
Not at all.
Mm-mm. I see. And how is your arm feeling?
I beg your pardon?
The arm where you were shot 2 weeks ago on the stage of your theater in New York City? It was in all the papers. You see, I believe that if these two events, the shooting and the call, are unrelated, then we've got ourselves quite a coincidence. And coincidence makes me very suspicious. Do you have a twitch?
Twitch? No. Yes. Why?
Inspector, the fact is, nothing unpleasant has happened here tonight. Unless, of course, you count my rather poor singing voice during the Christmas carols.
Is something the matter?
I just remembered a good joke.
Oh, can you tell us?
Well, there were these two Irishmen, and one says to the other, Begorra, oh, what's that dead body doing on my living room floor? And the other one says...
Begorra, because the door to the bar wouldn't close.
That is funny. And so hilarity ensues, evidently.
Dun, dun, yes. Dun.
That nodding doesn't work on the radio.
A lot of physicality.
Oh, good. What fun. We are running out of time. Is there anything you want to highlight on the show before we get into the details of when it's going to happen?
I would just, people can find out more information at stageaustin.com.
Wonderful. When do you open?
We open this Friday, the 20th, and yep. We run through April 12th.
Yeah, Thursday,
how many
Friday,
people
Saturday.
Are in the cast?
There are of a seven
eight.
Or eight.
You can get nice. All that yeah. information. You can actually see the program at the website, stageaustin.com. Well, thank you all so much for being on the show. It sounds like a lot
thank
of fun.
Thank you. That was did something.
Yeah, very, very, very meta, very Shakespearean.
Yes, right. Indubitably.
Wonderful. That was
indubitably.
That was Meredith O'Brien, Scott Friedman, Darren Scharf, and Wendy Zavallotta. All of the Stage Austin's The Game's Afoot, opening March 20th, plays through April 12th. And from Sherlock Holmes the Musical, this is Sherlock Holmes. We'll be right back.
Sherlock Holmes.
It can't be true.
Sherlock Holmes.
What did he do?
Sherlock Holmes has gone and done a rather nasty crime.
I fear the great detective.
KOOP HD1 HD3.
We are back. You are listening to Off Stage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole. We just have time to say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, why don't I hear you?
So long.
Oh, you're there. You are. You were just.
Am I here?
You were there. All right. No time to go on. You can go to offstageonair.com and see whatever you want. Next up is Tracy Schultz. What's he going to do?
He's going to tell us what's new.
He is going to tell us what's
because
new.
Because it's. What's new?
What's new?
With Tracy Schultz.
And we're going to play again. This is a new recording of the concept album of the musical Signs of Life. And this is The Teddy Bear, which is Gemini.
I was about to say The Signs of Life is about all the different,
signs.
12 different astrology
and,
signs.
And Teddy Bear is Gemini, sign? And it is sung by Jinx Monsoon.
Oh, I love it. Jinx full circle.
And here she is. We'll see you next week when we look at what's happening off stage and on the air. Bye, everybody.
Au revoir.
That's not a blanket. That's clothes. Your sweatshirt barely hides your crumpled toes. Ugh, how can you sleep like this? Your judgment's hit or miss.